Briggs is in order. The first thing that we will do is to, goodness,
that's
to wonder what
anything.
That is.
It's over.
That's right.
Okay, are we okay mm-hmm. on the
yes.
technological
yes.
end of things? Okay, thanks. One of the things that we have been doing as a matter of course lately is to make sure that we give everybody who is here an opportunity to introduce yourself, and if there's anything that you want to say about yourself, that's fine. we'll begin with the board up here, and I want to welcome Nichelle to her first in-person meeting. We had a video conference meeting on the 29th of January, which was her first official meeting as a commissioner, but this is her first in-person meeting, and welcome from Scotts Bluff.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm Barbara Walker, and I'm chairman of the Board of Commissioners. And we'll go, let's see, Bill will...
Bill Arrester from Lincoln.
Do I keep going this way or the commissioners first?
We'll go back.
Yeah.
Okay. Dorothy. I'm Dorothy Weston-Yaki from South Sioux.
Bob Burns from Omaha.
Michelle Ferreira, Scotts Bluff.
Earl Van Zandt, director of the commission.
Okay, Jan.
Jan Ludwig, Pearl's sister from Lincoln.
Okay, and then we'll start on my right. It would be the left out there.
Erica Wolf. And I live here in Lincoln, and I'm a client of the commissions.
Jimmy Arad, President of the American Council of Wine, Omaha.
Mary Susan Arrester, ACBN, Lincoln.
Lynn Miller, trainee from the
Bob Eaton, Deputy Director for Income and Living Services, here in Lincoln.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director, VR. Lincoln. Bob.
Patosh Floyd, Director of the Orientation Center for the Blind in Lincoln.
Connie Daly, Lincoln District Supervisor.
And French Yockey here in the back, with his husband. That's the last one.
Okay.
Carlos, there are agendas on the table to your right. And behind that.
Okay, one of the things that we've also been doing now is to announce at the beginning of the meeting that concerning public comments, that is comments from the public, we have a specified time during the agenda for that, but we also reserve the opportunity for everybody to participate in the meeting at the discretion of the chairman. And so if you want to seek the floor during the discussion of an item, please state your name, and at that point, depending on what kind of time constraints or things like that we're dealing with, then you know we will determine whether that's going to be able to happen or not. We do want to have input from the public, and we want to have interaction. So for the most part, we do take comments during discussion of agenda items. We also want everybody to know that if you need to leave and there is something that you want to talk about and you were planning to talk about it during the public comment time period, but you really need to go, please let me know that you want to do that. You can come up here and quietly let me know if you want to, or you can sing out if you don't want to be quiet about it or whatever, but please let me know. I don't want to skip over anybody or not give somebody a chance to make comments if you want to do that. Okay, the next item is the minutes of the January 29 meeting. Does anybody have any objections, any corrections, comments?
I move to be accepted.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the minutes of the January 29th teleconference meeting be moved from draft status to approved status. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that will be done. The Next item on the agenda is there was a concern raised concerning the orientation center training having to do with there being quite a few distractions during training. And we're going to explore that concern, and at this point I will turn it over to Pearl. I know that you have invited Fatosh to be here to talk about that, and so that's where we are right now.
Okay. I suppose the place to start is to let you know that anytime we have a client who lets us know about problems that it has any negative comments about the training in the center, if they bring it to me directly or if it's after the fact as a result of the survey that is done routinely, either way, we look at what it is that they were concerned about. I sit down with Fatosh and we discuss the situation. And we've actually had a similar conversation several times where we go through exactly how the day runs in the center, and we try to come up with any solutions we can think of to improve and to make changes that are relevant to that person's concerns. So that always happens. We don't always come up with any great ideas, and so we would certainly welcome any input that you have. But part of the issue is something I'm going to ask Fatosh to speak to a little bit more in depth. But basically, to me, there are two main factors. One is the nature of the center itself. It's an exceedingly dynamic environment. Things constantly change in terms of all the individuals, clients that are there and their particular needs any given day or hour, and of course staff issues as well, or events that come through, tours that come through. Just an example of a few things we've changed is we used to give lots and lots of tours to school groups. And we almost never do that anymore unless it's somebody really, you know, special or there's a real good reason to do that. But we do give a lot of tours to clients who potentially could be interested in the center, or even if not the center, who quite often the instructor or the counselor out in the field wants the individual to get an idea of really what's possible and to stretch their ideas. So a tour is very helpful at that time. Those are just a couple examples. Anyway, there are just continuous, constant changes that we need to fluctuate with and be flexible to in order to make the center work. The other major issue to me is we used to have a person who was the center director full-time. That person did not teach classes. And of course you know that our current center director, Fatosh, also teaches the Braille class. Now, there really are a lot of good reasons to have it the way it is. And I think, you know, we have, of course, obviously real strength in Fatosh's ability to teach Braille well and also to handle the administrative issues. But I do think that is something that makes a difference, but it's a reality now, and that we have to work around. We have to make work. So those are the main things I would like to say. And do you have any questions of me? Or?
Yeah, I have one question.
Okay.
Has there ever been a video created, like a video tour of the center?
I don't believe so. We have a video about the center apartments. I don't think we have one of the center, do we, Fatosh?
No, we have one that was from 1975, which is really not the center tour per se, but it was about the center client.
Right, but it was, it wasn't really as...
Well, when we checked into that too, Bob, and the price was that's quoted for us, and it needs to be kind of done professionally, is about $6,000 to $10,000.
I mean, that'd have to be an awful slick one. I don't know, I was just wondering, because when I went through the center back in 82, I mean, you know, tours were a part of it then too, and it is somewhat disruptive if they're coming through frequently, but a tour is neat, and if there was a tour video, then that would be a substitute for it, and you could get the same, I mean, maybe clients at some point before they came or something want to have tours, but for the general public or for most reasons, just to have the video tour, and you know, maybe you could have one less than Hollywood production. Volunteers or something. If some kind of video tour could be put together. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be ready for Hollywood, but it would certainly one could be done probably pretty decently. I'm sure there'd be somebody out there that would have the ability to put something like that together.
Well, we weren't going for a Hollywood production.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I suppose if you get a professional lens, I mean, just I know what they charge to do wedding. Videos can be quite high. I mean, it's they're gonna.
We checked with the university too. We thought that maybe one of their, because they have a film production type of department, and they don't even, I mean, we wanted maybe a student project, but they don't do it either.
But that's a good idea, and we'll keep that in mind and see if there's some way we could make that happen. I know one of the real values, or probably the main value of the center tour for the people who attend it, is the opportunity for that questioning and give and take and conversation. But if we toured, I mean, if we videoed a tour that was taking place, then at least that would, quite often people ask a lot of the same kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. But that would sure be something we could think about if we can figure out who could do that, and I'm not opposed to that. It'd be a good tool for people in the field to use.
And I don't know how you were going to do it if you're going to have a talk, but I was just going to throw out a thought or idea that I know that with, you know, particularly, Fatosha is doing, her job is running the center and teaching the class, that, you know, that's, you know, going to be a built-in issue, I know some of it is just training not only yourself, but training the public to deal with voicemail. That, you know, sometimes there's nothing more frustrating to get a voicemail, "Hi, this is Joe, call me." Mm-hmm. You know, well, you know, because what oftentimes is a successful transaction is they call, leave a detailed message, I call back and leave a detailed response on there, and we haven't even directly talked, but we've got it all accomplished, and we've done it without, you know, because when you answer the phone, you generally get drawn into some kind of chit-chat, usually, and that just all, when it's happening during the workday, it just all takes away from time. And then if you could, you know, the problem with, you know, if the teachers basically teach 8 to 5, essentially, and don't have an hour set aside for correspondence, or do they? I mean, do they have classes the whole day?
Maybe I should give...
Yeah, I think that'd be good for the coach to give you more.
Yeah, I prepared some notes to give some idea, and Bob, you've been through the center yourself, but I don't know, Michelle, I don't know if you ever come to the center?
No, I've been on a tour.
Yeah, okay, so it will give some idea for you too, Michelle. Okay. Now, just the makeup of the staff, briefly, is we have 6 full-time staff, including myself, and 1 part-time staff, which is a diabetic alternatives counselor, and she's 20 hours. And number of clients that we serve right now is we have 11 clients, which is our maximum capacity, one staff trainee, one intern, and each week we have 1 to 2 3-day stay clients. That's the second step for clients to become a full-time client of the center. They come and stay and attend the center each day. So in actually each day we can have anywhere from 11 to 14 clients. Our schedule is Monday through Thursday. Each client, like again, this is really kind of a client base too, but normal, each client will take 1 hour braille, 1 hour computer, 2 hours of travel, 2 hours of home management, and 2 hours of shop. And at night, almost every week, Julie, our apartment resource counselor, works with them at the apartment in their own scheduled time and do activities. Fridays, we have 2 hours of individual counseling, which each staff will have anywhere from 2 to 3 counselees, and 2 hours of seminar. In the afternoon, we have from about 1:15, 1:30 to 3:34 is the vocational seminar. And from 12 o'clock to about 1:30, we have our staff meeting. Now, when I check with other state centers, well, actually, I didn't check with them, you know, they're willing to give that information, from South Dakota and Texas and Kansas, the ones that have staff on wage, like ours, that is 40 hours a week, they teach direct teaching 6 hours a day. So every day, 2 hours given to staff for paperwork, returning phone calls, email, learning new skills, and we give to our staff only 2 hours a week. Yeah. If that is given, because sometimes if they're an activity, they can have 1 hour overtime that cuts on Fridays to 1 hour for instructors to doing other stuff, work related. So I kind of give some idea about the scheduled activities, but not fit in this weekly schedule, kind of. It's kind of different. One is staff vacations. When we have a staff vacation, there's no other staff to fill that position. So we get either volunteers or the block in our areas. And right now, 3 out of 6 staff is over 280 hours of limit that they can carry a year for vacation. And it is March and they have over 280 hours. That means that these individuals need to be forced to take, not forced, but if they don't take a vacation each week or monthly, they are going to lose time at the end of the year. And I think that shows staff commitment too. The staff meetings, our committee meetings, we have our state staff meeting coming up for two days, and I'm making arrangements for people to come from outside, volunteer basis, because we don't have the money in the budget, to come and work with the clients for 2 days. And just the organization of that, of course, takes time too. And we have tours. These are either client tours, we have 3-day stays as I talked to you, employers, we get a lot of employers, and that's, I think, one of the reasons that unemployment rate is so low, and professional people coming from either universities, from disability offices, and I think average a year we give only 3 school tours. And Pearl was right, I mean, we were giving almost weekly, and we really don't have any. And then we have center activities, and this is, I consider, part of the training that is either in the center and or outside of the center. And we do it once a month outside of the center and sometimes once a month inside the center, from a buffet activity, eating, how to eat, to Tuesday afternoon. Clients going to help four little kids to do Easter eggs. We have telephone calls, of course, and some of these telephone calls somebody needs to answer, because it is from the clients that's out there either traveling or having a problem. So, you know, we cannot just say not answer the phone and do it later, because there are sometimes emergencies. We have transportation and reader arrangements we need to do. We need to go and locate either volunteer jobs or jobs for the clients, because most of our clients do volunteer or jobs or real jobs at the end of their training. Right now there are two clients, three clients are taking classes, and we need to do the from transportation to paperwork to all the school arrangements for those people. Of course, we have our regular paperwork, which is at the end, as you can see, at the end of the list, because, you know, it really is, it's always a priority, but, you know, it's not really, seeing the whole picture is not that important. Planning and organization and developing curriculum, doing research for clients equipment-wise, and learning new skills, is part of it. And sometimes we need to do the special one-on-one type of client need. And there are some clients that is one-on-one and you cannot work it as in the group. Now, there are some, of course, fires and unscheduled things. One of them is staff illness and emergency. Again, we do not have a backup for that. We double up or find another way, and it happens usually that morning. We have client medical emergencies, and this can take from 5 minutes giving a glucose tablet to a person who's doing a low sugar to 3-hour emergency room run. And of course, whoever is dealing with that is out of the picture as an instructor. Counseling. When a client comes crying to the room, you cannot just say, wait, I need to finish my Braille class and I need to deal with it. You need to deal sometimes those things immediately. Crying relative or family tours, which we encourage people to come, but sometimes they are not scheduled. We really encourage people to tell us beforehand. Locating clients. You send them to travel and they are not coming back in our time. Jeff has a cell phone, constantly calls and see if the person is in as he's out there looking for the client. Or just client doesn't come in the morning. And then, you know, we call in apartments and try to figure out what happened. Unscheduled, we have client medical appointments that we need to, that happens, comes a toothache, and that then not only we need to find a dentist that's accepting Medicaid or Medicare, and also find the transportation and find out if there's a bus going there or any kind of other transportation. Dealing with other outside resources, organizations, agencies, we send a person, and that is part of training, taking charge in life, to housing authority. And housing authority, let's say, have a problem with the client coming, and is not going to read the forms, and we need to deal with that and the bus company. So as you can see, life is not easy. And really, I'm open to, you know, any suggestions. And, but that is basically kind of a regular day. You know, because I just look at last week and what happened and I wrote it down.
So safe to assume you were busy last week.
Well,
you know, it certainly sounds like the, you know, the things that can't be planned for are almost the, you know, happen a lot. But, you know, I just know that, you know, getting people trained to use voicemail is just, because when you're teaching a class and the phone rings, you know, now when they call a class, say they call your Braille class Fatosh, is there an option to go back to the operator on the phone? Does the phone system work that way?
Yes.
So, I mean, you could have a message, if this is an emergency, you know, hit zero and it'll go to the operator and then you'll be paged rather than, because I mean, you know, imagine most calls are not emergencies. Most calls do not have to be dealt with instantly. And you can reach a place in your class when you've got people doing something and you could take a moment to check voicemail.
Oh, yeah. And usually, unless I know there's something happening, usually I don't even answer my call. Unless if it is, I'm waiting for something, you know, but I really don't. And usually I tell people to page me if it is an emergency. So I get, you know, quite a bit pages.
Right. We have used we really worked on effective use of both voicemail and email. And say for staff who are needing to contact her about scheduling something, you know, or if it's something that will need some interaction, but it doesn't necessarily need to be done right then. If they can email and then she checks, or if they leave a voicemail and she checks. But then there's the point where they do need to be in person on the phone saying, yes, this is going to work, or if the counselor is calling saying, my person just canceled, we won't be there at 9 today, or, you know, it's... We talk about this particular issue frequently, and I think Fatosh really tries to manage that as effectively as possible and still be taking those calls for emergency situations.
And, you know, again, you know, when I don't answer the phone and whatever, I end up, I put 55, 60 hours a week, and that's the honest truth. But then, you know, I need to stay over 5 o'clock. I don't take lunch at all. And, you know, that takes a lot out of me too.
Right.
Because sometimes I get 60-70 emails a day. Sometimes they need to be returned. I mean, you cannot have it piled up. And I do carry counselors, individual counselors, because there's no other person that, you know, we cannot have four people with one staff. So,
well, yeah. I mean, it certainly sounds like there's the need of another person. And I guess, you know, I'm sure this, I'm just asking, I'm sure it's all been looked at, but as far as setting up, you know, how many people are going to staff the center versus, you know, the statewide payroll, how was the number that currently staff the center, how was that number come up with? I mean, it sounds like you're short at least one person to kind of, you know, maybe just be a part-time person that could give you, you know, fill in for some classes, especially for Fatosh, who runs the center. But it seems like, you know, if a person handled Braille class, you know, frequently, you know, once in a while or systematically, would free Fatosh up then to do administrative work.
Right. And this past year we have done that. We did it for a while until the budget got so tight and we weren't getting the federal grants, but we did have a person from the community that we hired to teach Braille and to also, you'll remember we had a long period of time where we didn't have the computer instructor and where that was vacant, so we had someone that, you know, was kind of a temporary full-time worker to do that. In terms of, I mean, the it's not a number of staff that we can have, but it's the limitation that we can pay on salaries, PSL, and we are at the limit of that. When we went from having a full-time director separate from all the teachers at the time that we hired Fatosh, that position or the PSL that would cover that position was transferred. I believe that was when we created the technology person in the North Platte district. And so we didn't just not fill a position, but we made it another position that we really needed. And so it's not that easy just to go back. We really have a benefit with Fatosha's skills, and we've talked several times about all of this, but, she really loves to teach, and she's very, very good at teaching, but she also loves to do the director part, and it's so clear that the students, for the most part, have tremendous respect for Fatosh and her abilities, and she's just so good in both of her roles that if we had the funds to hire a whole new person, I'm not sure which way we would go with that, because I'd hate to lose her as an instructor, but I'd also hate for her not to be the director. And so, that seems like something we should push for, and we could always, if we could get the budget in gear, we could request additional PSL for another person in the center. But I'm not sure, to me right now, I don't think that that's a realistic solution to the problem.
You don't think it's feasible you're going to get more PSL, or you don't think you, if you have the ability to have a higher PSL, that you'd want to use it for another staff person at the center?
The latter. What would we do with Fatosh if we had the extra PSL?
Right, it would seem like it would seem like the ideal would be like a part-time.
That's a possibility.
That someone that could give her, free up. Because if she's working, that many hours, that it seems like, someone could. So how many different, how many hours are Braille classes for Tosh?
Every hour. 4 days a week.
Right, every hour. But when do you get a new batch? Does each class last 2 hours, did you say, or 1 hour?
1 hour. See, what happens right now, for example, there are, out of 11, there are four. Yeah, it's going to be four clients in the first week of April. That is taking 3 hours Braille, 3 hours computer, and 2 hours travel, because they finish home management and shop. So when I say one person 1 hour, I realize they're coming there 3 hours a day. So I have anywhere from, I would say, two client to five client at a time.
Coach, would you tell the times that your classes begin each day?
8 o'clock, and then ends 5 o'clock. And we have 1 hour lunch from 12.
No, I mean the Braille classes. I thought that you were doing now an hour.
Classes. From 8 to 9, I don't have any clients, but I think with four people starting, it's going to change. I need to get that hour also client, because otherwise, the other hours are going to be four or five people.
Well, a couple things. It sounds like, if you had 2 hours a day, 70% unemployment in the black community, finding somebody that would be interested in, finding somebody out there to come in and do 2 hours of Braille a day would seem, that wouldn't be hard, I wouldn't think. And it's just the money issue. How much do you have to pay on a part-time person an hour?
Well, of course, we cannot have anybody, Bob. We need to have a qualified person that knows their Braille.
Well, right. It'd be like a substitute teacher pool in the school. So.
And Joe, we were paying the, isn't it
Well, the person we had hired last year and that we've used frequently in the past, Jolene Bosshart, is a former commission employee. And
she taught me 20 years ago.
Right. She taught me too. She is, because she's a former employee, we hire her at the level that she was at. I don't remember an hourly wage off the top of my head. But, you know, that's a possibility that we could look at again and maybe need to. Yes, we have all our grants now. We'll be talking more in depth about the budget later. But the overall expenditures and income are extremely tight. You know, we don't have very much flexibility. And also, we're going to be talking about the CPQs and the fact that, you know, our positions have been upgraded to new salary grades. And so if things work out in the legislature, we'll be implementing that. But, you know, it's still exceeding, and that's going to make it even tighter when we're able to do that. So it's something we can look at. I don't know that it's very easily done, but it's good to have kind of a reminder to look at it again. And we definitely had to stop when we did have a computer person on board, and after she completed her training, so the center was fully staffed, we did discontinue the contract with Joe at that time because budget-wise, I mean, we just really needed to be as conservative as possible.
Well, just in that list Fatosh gave, I mean, I could see, though, if I was a student going through the center, why I would have the observation that it's, and
sure,
you know, that it's, you know, a lot of interruptions and distractions,
right,
because there are. And,
right.
But the
you know, well, go ahead, and then I have a thought.
See, the thing is, when they come as a client, before they come as a client, they come for a tour, and then they come for a three-day stay. So, you know, these things happen to them, and they most people realize, most clients realize that it is, we're dealing, I mean, I understand the thing that I look at it is I look at it as unfitting the schedule. Interruption is if I'm drinking coffee and eating donut and not doing my job. You know, to me, that is definite. But these are, the things we're doing is dealing with a client. Maybe it is not them, but it is dealing with another client, medical issue, transportation, school, or something, you know. It is part of the training, and it doesn't matter, I think, how you change, those things are going to happen.
Right.
When you're dealing with 12 people, 13 people a day, it is going to happen.
That's kind of what I was going to talk about as well. An idea that I have is that we need to make sure that counselors in the field are really helping center candidates, people that are preparing to come to the center, to understand that that is what life is like there. And in effect, I mean, if somebody comes for a tour and it's super busy, they may go away thinking, wow, that was a busy week, but not really understanding that is how it is every single day. And in a sense, that, as I call it, a dynamic atmosphere, in a way is a very good training element in itself, because when you're in the work world, most jobs, you, or an awful lot of jobs anyway, you have to be prepared to, you know, switch gears immediately. The boss comes in and they need this, or you've got a whole group that need the table over there. I mean, from the, you know, all levels of jobs, you have to be able to make quick changes and respond to situations, and so it's very different for people who haven't been in the workforce. And in a sense, I think that's a real positive thing about that. And also, when we, you know, it's the individuals who are sitting in their class and feeling frustrated with the quote-unquote interruptions are the ones we hear problems from, but the people who have an emotional problem or need to get something figured out right away, or you know, they're lost on their travel, those people are the ones that are the interruptions, and that's kind of what Patoche mm-hmm. was saying. The interruptions are the work. So, you know, there's a certain dynamic there that I think is really good. And if our counselors would really explicitly talk to clients about that, that's how it is there, maybe that would be something that would be good.
Do they have, I know technology didn't exist when I went through the center, but mm-hmm. that, you know, because one response would be, and this is kind of, you know, hopefully future job training, is they have to deal with things coming up and have to be dealt with and change priorities and things. Mm-hmm. But if like, you know, if they have assignments, because if it gets kind of loose, distracted, and chatty, then, you know, then they're not getting anything done. You know, needs to be more, you know, because in the workplace there's deadlines, there's assignments, got to have it done. And if you take that element out of it, add the distraction element, then it can, you know, I it would seem like that would kind of be the worst of both worlds. If, you know, they have to deal with the distraction, that's fine, but if they have to get specific things done, it keeps them focused, keeps them moving, rather than, because sometimes you learn more by figuring something out yourself than you know, having somebody show you how to do it. But I just wonder, are there specific assignments, deadlines, things like that?
In my room, I use a book actually Jolene wrote, Braille Basics, and it is lesson by lesson. In Braille and Speak, I wrote 26 lessons going with the book, so they can review the signs and stuff in the Braille and Speak. And so as in computer, we have typing CDs, we have spelling, you know, we have all kinds of things that they can work independently. Part of the problem we face is that, as I mentioned before, spatial needs clients. And especially at the beginning, it is definitely one-on-one. You know, the level of the knowledge they have and the skills they have, it is hard, you know, for them to do.
Define a special need. Are you talking about somebody with other handicaps, or?
For example, person with a head injury, person that has short-term memory problems, that you need to repeat over and over again the same instruction.